Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it's Yvonne McCoy. Welcome to I'm Ready For Me. I'm ecstatic that you're taking this time for you and your business. And as I said, 2015 is not like any other year. I'm ecstatic. I think we're really astounding ourselves in what we can get accomplished. So let me just tell you a little bit about myself. The I'm Ready For Me Adept Living is a philosophy of living your life expertly as a well-trained, skilled, and thoughtful person. Your life doesn't have to just happen to you. You can learn and use success strategies and systems and consciously enrich your life. Whether those life choices are about your health, your wealth, or yourself, the result is creating a bolder, more dynamic life. And the process begins with discovering and focusing on what you envision for all areas of your life, not just one, and neglecting the others. You can expand your horizon fearlessly when you have those strategies and systems to handle change, goal setting, problem solving, and managing resources. So what are you waiting for? Not just about one area in your life, but your whole life. I'm ecstatic that you're taking this journey with me. So be sure to click on the like button in the upper left-hand corner and let's get it done. And strangely enough, the topic for today is, can you be an expert? And as I said before, you can be an expert in your life. So there's a lot of talk about being an expert in this time of information overload. And why? It's because people are looking for information about all kinds of things, and because it's there, you know, we are curious creatures. And there are several different levels of, you know, it's important that there are different levels of expertise and why you might be interested in this. As a professional, it keeps you at the top of your game. It also keeps you current. It keeps you from being stale. It keeps you from being a fuddy-duddy. It also increases your visibility and credibility, and that's important if you want to be mobile in your job, whether that's mobile because you want to move up or mobile because you want to move out. You know, you want to be self-employed, or they decide you're moving out. If you've got information, then you've got something that's worth selling. And if you're an entrepreneur, your expertise is your business, and it's one of the main things that's going to increase your profitability. On the personal front, being an expert is what you're interested in and what will increase your confidence as you have to make decisions in your life. At some point, it might even lead to a business opportunity. So what do you need to change to be seen as an expert? So let's find out what's going to happen, okay? If you think about it, like I said, there's lots of information overload, and that was one of the reasons I created the I'm Ecstatic model, because the first step is to set a goal, and this will give you the focus for gathering your information. If you are gathering information on something that is, you know, you say you want to save $1,000 and you've got information on how to invest $5,000, then, you know, you don't really need to keep that piece of information at the moment. You know, you can put it someplace else, right? You're looking for information, so it kind of gives you something to divide and, you know, sift through the information, so you're only picking up the things that's important to you. The next step is activation. How are you going to use this information? Again, this is a way to kind of sift through some of this information. You know, if you can't use it, you should either file it or fling it. That way it's not stuck in your head. It's not, you know, useless stuff that's going on. You're just picking out the stuff that's going to be useful to you, okay? The rest of the steps in the I'm Ecstatic model are there to help you to reach your goal. Do you feel like you can be an expert? I should take a step back and say to you, if you haven't downloaded the I'm Ecstatic Life Planning Model, you should do that and go through the process and see how it can help you. So, you know, can you be an expert? Absolutely. Again, you have to set the reason you want to do this and the level you want to obtain. So let's see what we're going to cover today. Okay, we're going to talk about what is an expert, both professionally and personally. We're going to talk about the types of experts, the different levels, the steps that you can take to become more of an expert. And as always, we're going to do the assignment and the action plan. So, you know, like I said, there's lots of information out there, and there's lots of reasons to have information, whether it is, you know, personally or whether it is professionally. Professionally, you absolutely have to keep current. You have to be the person that your client is going to want to come to, whether you're employed or whether you're self-employed, okay, your knowledge is your personal capital, both within a job and within and outside in your business, so that when somebody's looking for somebody in your company or somebody's looking for somebody at the business that you work in and they say something, then they go, oh, so-and-so knows a lot about that, okay? And that's building your personal capital or your professional capital. If you are an entrepreneur, it's absolutely essential, and it affects how and where you do your business. Your expertise is what your ideal client is looking for, and I'll talk to you about that a little bit more. On a personal level, being an expert in what you're interested in will increase your level of confidence as you make decisions in your life. At the same point, it may even lead to a business opportunity. So if you get really good at something and you find that people are always coming to you to get information, you're going to see that there's a need for that. And that is a perfect way to maybe start by, you know, starting a business, whether it's on the side or a full-time business. I'm going to share some of my experiences of becoming more of an expert as we go along, because in order to become an expert, you have to really believe that you've got information that's valuable to somebody else. So what is an expert, and why would you want to be one? Okay, the dictionary definition is an expert is a person who has comprehensive and authoritative knowledge or skill in a particular area. And experts play an important part in society. You know, some argue that there are two kinds of experts. One expert is the expertise of function of what they know. The other is the function of what they can actually do. Both are important. They both have, you know, legitimate points of view, and they can disagree with each other. So there's kind of the conceptual, and there's the actual. So that has a lot to do with taking a look at how you become an expert. You may be an expert in something that you're building with your hands, and you're an expert at that. You may not be an expert in the concepts that make it very appealing. So that's one of the things to take a look at. So why is having an expertise important to your success? Well, for one, it makes it easier for you to communicate, whether you are communicating to your market or communicating to other people in your field, or just communicating to other people that are interested in that particular area. In business, customers tend to pay more if they think that you have expert knowledge. And having knowledge also bolsters your confidence and your willingness to self-promote yourself and your skills and knowledge. People don't work for the same company for 30 years very often anymore, and so you have to have a portable kind of resume and expertise. And being an expert in something is one of the ways to do that. Selling becomes easier if you know that you're offering something that's high value to the market. And whether that selling is selling yourself or selling a product, again, we're talking about your own capital to develop yourself. So you can be an expert, but then the next step is to be an authority. So, you know, authorities aren't just experts. They're people who are in a position to lay down the law, their law, and have people accept it. The authority sets the rule. The authority sets the tone of an industry. An authority is a leader not because they just claim to be a leader, but because they actually have people that are willing to follow them. So you may start out as an expert, but you may have a point of view that is so appealing to other people that they are willing to incorporate that into their life and willing to follow you. So the ultimate goal is to be an expert authority. And, you know, you have to decide whether you're willing to have a tribe that's going to follow you or not, how passionate you are about being an expert. So I think the first thing that came to my mind when people were talking about being an expert is like, you know, I don't know anything different. Why would anybody follow me? Why would people want to hear what I have to say? There are lots of other people out there that are saying the same thing. So the first thing is you have to know, you know, what is your area of expertise? When you begin to look at the other areas that you're doing, whether it's experience or hobbies or things that you're passionate about or places you've had success, you know, your expertise will start to reveal itself. And the thing that's most interesting to me is your expertise may seem like something that's very normal to you, that you feel it's your gift, and you feel like everybody else can do it as well. And that's not true. So I'm going to say this now, and I'm going to say it at the end. You should actually ask some people, what is it that they find the most appealing about you that attracts, you know, attracts them to you? Is it your integrity? Is it the clarity with which you can explain something? Is it that you're a good listener? Is it that you're high energy? You know, ask and find. You know, the exercise is kind of ask people to give you three adjectives to describe yourself and see which ones seem to really fit you and the area that you're interested in. Now, the one thing is that I want to caution you is that, you know, especially on the Internet, experts are very plentiful. And so a lot of times people distrust the whole idea of an expert. And as an expert, a successful expert, your job is really to position your expertise in a way that's believable and trustworthy. So whenever you see these things that say, oh, lose weight in 20 days, lose 100 pounds in 20 days, you're like, yeah, that's not going to happen. So I think that that is a good way to take a look at it. Now, one of the other things that I want to make sure that I'm going to give you some ideas about being an expert that I think will make it easier for you to see that you can become an expert. So the first thing is realizing that the term expert is a relative term. It's the dimmer switch. There's a whole range that you can fit in terms of being an expert. You don't need to be the world's foremost expert at something to benefit from what you know. You just need to be expert enough and know enough that you're good enough to accomplish your goals, whether they're modest or whether they're big, whether they're business or whether they're personal. Someone once said that expertise is a scale from 1 to 10, you know, not as an absolute. If you're a 2 or 3, you know, you might be expert enough in your field, you know, just to help people who are 1s or 2. And, in fact, you might be better suited to helping beginners because you're closer to their level, and you better understand that. A perfect example of this is my first year of chemistry in college. We had a professor who was brilliant. I mean, the man was really brilliant. He was so brilliant that when he worked on his doctorates, it got confiscated by the government, and he had to come up with another one in short order. But for those of us that were taking chemistry for, like, the first time or were really in, you know, chemistry 101, we sat there totally like, duh, we don't know what this man is talking about. And nicest man in the world. I mean, he was more than willing to help you, but he just, you know, he just fought a lot faster and on a much different level than we freshmen did. I mean, the whole class, you know, 50% of the class was failing because we couldn't get it. So, you know, when you look at where you are, you just want to be an expert to see that you're an expert for some and that you need experts for yourself as well. Probably the biggest idea that helped me to change this whole idea of, you know, being a relative expert was in a speaker's class that I took. And he says there are three levels. There's the expert, there's the reporter, and there's the student. And the expert is typically that, well, you know, world-renowned person or that person that, you know, there aren't that many of them, and just by the fact that they are who they are, they're an expert. So that would be if you had a president come and speak. There are only 44 of them. Most of them are dead. There are only a couple that are still living. So that puts you in a really unique position to be an expert. You don't have a whole lot of competition. Most people don't get to do that job. And so you have a point of view that nobody else has. So that's a true, true expert. The next level is to be a reporter. You're interested in something enough to gather information and opinions about everything else and kind of put it together and try to distill it and put it into some kind of system that people can understand so that they can get some good information all in one place, and that's the reporter. Or you can be a student, and that is the one that is more personally branded because it has to do with you and your experiences. What have you done? What have you learned? What has worked for you? which brings me to what I think is the fourth one, which is the hybrid student, because typically as a student, you are gathering lots of information so that you can go out and share that with other people, so that you can use it first and then share it with other people. So you can, you know, as a student, you are also almost by default partially a reporter because you're trying to learn things yourself. So I'll just tell you like a certain, you know, part of my story, and that was when I was talking to people and I said, oh, I lost 100 pounds, they're like, oh, you should speak on this, you should go out and help people. And it made me feel like a fraud. It was like, when I wanted to be in Weight Watchers, you had to get down to your goal weight, which I was never going to get to, because that weight was not a weight that I had seen since I was a teenager, I don't think. And so I felt like, how can I get on the stage and tell people about losing weight when I still have another 100 pounds or so to lose? And what that person said to me, this very wise person, said to me is, you don't have to be the expert for everybody. You just need to be the expert for the people that want to lose 100 pounds as part of their journey, because you can tell them a lot of the things that they're going to go through, all right? And that was interesting to me. It's like, oh, I can help people that are just starting, that have a large amount of weight to lose. I wasn't there for the people that had the last 5 pounds to lose. I was there for the people that needed to get started to losing weight. And that, I think, is your story is part of what makes your style. You know, there are certainly other people that are out there that know what you know. And while people have studied what you studied, no one else has lived your life. And so you have a very unique combination of gifts, talents, skills, and experience. This is your signature, and it's unique just to you. All the different things that happen to you only happen to you. So, again, in my case, I lost 100 pounds. I could not be an expert for somebody that needed to lose 200 pounds, except in the mindset of saying, well, if you did it once, then you can do it again, okay? You can build on your success. It doesn't have to come all at once. And probably my message has always been that I've learned is that to live your life to the fullest regardless what weight you're at. So you may want to lose 100 pounds, but you don't say, when I lose 100 pounds, then I'm going to do this. It's like, I'm going to do this. And because of what you're doing, that's going to help you to lose the weight. So I think that's really important that you have a signature, that you actually reflect what you're talking about and you're an expert in. If it comes to the personal part, you can't go out to lunch with a friend and say, don't eat such and such, and then you turn right around and eat it. Or if it's advice about kids, then you can't tell people, I read this, and I think this is what you should do when you haven't done it, or you have no kids, right? So getting your own style, being authentic, using what you've actually learned in your life is an important part of being an expert. And positioning yourself, if you're going to do this in terms of business, is also important. Because one of the question marks that comes up that erodes our confidence is there are lots of other people that are out there, okay? You need to understand that you're not competing with all the other people that are out there that may have the same kinds of skills that you have, because you probably can't stand out in that kind of situation. One of the things that you want to do is you want to figure out as closely as you can who you really want to get to. I mean, there are millions of people out there that maybe need to hear your message, but if you're in business, you may only need 100 of those million. So there's something very specific about the combination of things that put them out there. You know, there are people that are definitely worse than you are with less experience and not as good results, but that's not what you want to focus on. You don't want to say, well, I'm better than that. You want to focus on people that are better than you, so you're raising the bar. That you're going to get better experiences as well. And the funny thing about this, about positioning and other people knowing what you have, is that it takes time sometimes for the message to get through. It always amazes me that it seems to me that for me it's three times, that I hear an idea have to hear it three times before I can actually use it. And I think part of that is, where am I mentally when I hear it? I'm going to be doing a radio program, a radio teleseries that starts today. It's going to go for 18 weeks about entrepreneurs building their business. And one of the things we're going to be talking about is tapping. And I heard this from a very good friend of mine who's very rational. He's not like, you know, woo-woo, okay? And I was like, yeah, right. Then I went to get hypnotized, and the hypnotist suggested it as something that I could do on a regular basis, and I was like, yeah, yeah. Then I went... Then I answered an ad to be on a Blog Talk radio show, and it was about tapping and losing weight. So none of them, I guess, before had said to me, this is a good way to lose weight, which is something I was interested in. So that kind of caught my interest, and I actually teamed up with her. So the positioning, you know, I was opening to listening to her because it affected something I was interested in. Same thing is true with other things. I've heard many people talk about the process that you have to go through change, and I probably had to listen to hear it from about three different people before I went, oh, so this is what they're talking about. So it could be, it may not be just your message. It may be the clutter that's going on in other people's minds. But the last thing on positioning is, if you position yourself in relationship to well-known people, that can be beneficial, not because you're competing with them, but because you can help your followers know you better by showing how you differentiate or distinguish yourself from them in some way that makes you look good. Not that you're not proving them wrong. So that's the point about finding a place where you feel comfortable seeing yourself as an expert. Basically, when you put yourself as an expert, you are an expert to the people who haven't made it as far as you have, wherever that might be. So what can you do to help yourself become more of an expert? Well, you know I'm an advocate of lifelong learning, and if you want to be an expert, you definitely have to get involved in lifelong learning. So the first thing I would say is when you kind of decide what area you're interested in, start by reading at least 5 books. So you can learn from books and you can learn from experience. And the bottom line is, you know, there's a time for learning and there's a time for practicing. So a true expert needs to have both the expertise, the book learning, and the experience, the world life. So if you were going to be a bodybuilder, all the reading in the world wouldn't possibly build muscle for you. Okay? It would give you all kinds of ideas about building muscles, but it wouldn't actually build muscles. On the other hand, you know, if you were a bodybuilder and you just jumped into lifting weights without learning about some of the best practices and the minimum, you know, reps and resting time and stuff like that, you may not get the best results in terms of what you're doing. So there's a balance between learning and doing. And most people spend much more time on one or the other. You have to learn to flex both muscles. And if you are mostly into learning, it's time to shift into doing. And learning can be an incredibly seductive place to be. I had this idea. I read this. I mean, I see this all the time in my clients where they are really into reporter mode. They go out. They gather lots of information. They try to see what they can do. But they never do anything. And that's why in the I'm Ecstatic, the second thing is activation. How are you going to use what you learned? Okay? The second step is to study other experts experts on that subject, maybe interview other people, you know, look at their patterns and best practices, because perspective is what you really are selling. This may mean, you know, that you have to change your mindset, you know, that you don't have to be the best, that you can give a totally different point of view to something. There are 360 degrees in a circle. You are at a different degree than other people. What is your particular perspective? But it does mean that you have to focus. It means that, you know, to gain expertise, especially in the beginning, you have to focus on the thing that you want to learn. And when you start learning something new, sometimes it's easy to be overcome that you've got to master all these things. So that's one of the reasons that it's really important to give yourself gap goals. So, you know, on that scale of 1 to 10, if you are currently at a 3, you don't want to jump, you know, set the goal to jump from 3 to 10. The first goal would be to go maybe from 3 to 5. So then you're an expert for the people 1 through 4. All right? So that you don't become paralyzed by the fact that it's that it's daunting. And you have to ignore a lot of the distractions. You have to put things aside so that you have time to gain that expertise. So start small, do one change at a time. Enjoy the activity that you're doing, whether it's learning or doing, and you know, be grateful for each step that you take so that you can enjoy it. Another point to this is that you really need to take a look at other people's best practices. Break it down so that it's easy to follow, to pull it together, you know, to pull the information together. And what you really want to do is start looking at what is your theory of whatever that is. And again, for me, that theory is, you know, I'm ecstatic. And almost every model that I've come up with, the steps, the I'm ecstatic, and some of the other things, all include evaluation, because that to me is one of the places that we are probably the weakest in. I think it's because we think of evaluation as a critique. What's wrong with me? When in actuality, it's more about where am I and where do I want to go? What do I need to do to get there? So that's a really important part for me when I put together my best practices. When I look at things, does this have a piece for evaluation or for introspection or to reset myself? The next thing, three, is to create arguments on your topic. And this is really important because it's like practicing a debate. It helps you to form your perspective better. And you may also have to rethink some things and do more research. So you want to know what to pay attention to, what things mean. You know, like, for instance, if you don't want to work for 30 years and you want to retire, what does this mean? This particular area, how things work, so you can do it differently or you can do it better, how things might turn out. But the really important part is that it's going to help you to have answers for people when people say to you, well, so-and-so says such-and-such, you know, or I've heard that this kind of thing doesn't work, and you have an answer. So you say, well, I'll agree with you that it doesn't work for 100% of the people, but this is the percentage of people that I think that it does work with. It works if, you know, blah, if you do A, B, and C. If you skip any of those steps, then it's not going to work. And you can base that on your own experience or your own research. Okay, four is keep it simple and have a system. Okay? Many times things are too complex, and we just need to simplify a complex idea by building a framework. So part of, you know, the argument, creating arguments, is to help you to make sure you have information to put into that system, okay? Because there's so much information, you want to simplify it. I find a lot of times that, for me, I'm kind of the translator of information and not always the creator. When I was working in workforce development, the agency I worked for was about literacy. They had grants to do literacy in the workplace. And so they would always talk to the employers about test scores and increasing test scores. And the employers could have cared less about the test scores. And especially they didn't care enough to take them off and, you know, off the line or, you know, out of what they were doing and still pay them. It was, you know, there was like no incentive there as far as they could figure out. When I talked to them, I was able, because I had been in business, I was able to address their issues, okay? So we talked about mistakes and rework and problem solving, you know, and how the ways that literacy could help that, how it could save them money and that, you know, save them costs so that it could increase their profit. So I was basically a translator between the educators and the business owners, okay, which made them think I was an expert. Now, there are two things that I want to, you know, talk about here is at the time I didn't think that I was an expert. It just made common sense to me, and as I said, sometimes the things that you're gifted in, you think, well, why don't other people see this? This is really strange. And that's also that you have a system, okay? If you're into the educational part, all you have to do to learn to connect with the business world is say, tell me what you're most concerned about. What problems do you have that you're most concerned about? You know, and the person will rattle off a bunch of problems, and you say, well, this one would benefit from increased literacy. This one, okay? So sometimes it's just about having a system. Did I actually do an assessment to see what they needed, and if, in fact, it would benefit from literacy? So have a system, you know, and one of the things you can do to grow your system is you can write about it, you can speak about it, you can record. If you want to make it part of your business, you can make up a package or a product. I have a couple of systems that I mentioned to you before, the I Am Ecstatic and the Adept Steps, and both of them have, as I said to you, the evaluation part. All right, the next thing is, how do you get your word out there? You have to have an educational campaign. You're not selling, okay, you're not promoting, you're educating. You're educating in your area of expertise. And if you are marketing, you know, it takes about 7 times before they believe you. They have to get to know, like, and trust you. So if you're doing this in your personal life, typically they already know, like, and trust you, right? But you have to make it educational. And it isn't that, you know, do it my way. It is, what have you tried? Did you know that such and such and such and such, right? So you want to be a person that they look to so that you can help educate them and help them with their message. The other thing is that you have to focus on excellence. What is your difference? Your customers require you to be excellent. And if you can do that, if you can give them more than they expect, then you can expect to charge expert fees, which would be more than you think, which gives you higher margins, which gives you higher profits, which means you can do more things that you like, either because you have fewer clients and you have more free time, or you have more money to pump back into your business. In your personal life, people who share in your thoughts become people that you're going to probably spend more time with because they're thinking kind of the way that you're thinking. So look at it in terms of getting the word out from an educational perspective. When people talk to me about what I'm excited about, they learn something, okay? Even if I'm talking about something they're not interested in, they should hopefully learn something. My father, who's an electrical engineer, talks about all kinds of electrical engineering kinds of things. But usually when he tells stories, in the story there's something that I never thought about. I remember one story where he's talking about where they stored paper and had to do a lot of research on the kind of lighting that went into the space because it caused the paper to deteriorate. And, you know, when I think of paper deteriorating, I think over hundreds of years, not just 6 months. So that was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay. So, you know, I may not have really cared about the voltage of the lights and stuff that they put in there, but it was interesting to me to have the concept that paper will deteriorate because of lighting. All right. The next thing is, get outside, get some outside help, okay? And share your expertise. The more you do, the more visible you are in your community, in your market, you know, the more people are going to ask you for your help, the more you can share your expertise, the more you're likely to run into other people that have the same interests that you do, and you can get outside help. So from a professional point of view, some of the things you might want to do is you might want to write articles. And this can be personal too. You might want to write an article for the parent newsletter or the school newsletter, okay? Now because of the internet, you can write blogs, you can be online, you can do traditional publications. It might just be fun to find a magazine that you really like, you know, a local magazine, and write an article a month. You can also be an expert on a radio program and on other teleseminars. That's the way when I told you we're doing the 18-week wellness series, that's how I met Suzanne, was I was on her radio show. Professionally, you want to make sure you have a very professional-looking website and blog. It's good to have testimonials. It's much better to have other people toot your horn than do it yourself. Join organizations that have the same kind of common themes that you have. And one of the things that it lets you do is to do joint ventures. An interesting thing that I heard was, and I'm going to do, I think, a show on this, is make opportunities. And basically what it said is, if you've got 2 points of clarity, right, you can find a problem that you can work on. And I'm going to go back to the wellness thing, because it was so strange. We were talking, and Suzanne knew lots of people or had been in the business long enough to know that a lot of the wellness practitioners were not building their business. I, on the other hand, work with entrepreneurs to help them build their business. So voila, there came the course, like, we can do this. We can help wellness professionals build their business. So that's an opportunity. That's a joint venture where you may not have all the expertise you need to do it. You've got part of it. They've got part of it. Look again for memberships to the club. Be a place where, you know, you can distribute information. The next thing is that when you look at high-performing experts, you'll see that they often have help. They've either had coaches, they've been involved with mentors, they've got a pack of growth-oriented friends that help them, they've got, you know, buddies. It's really hard to gauge your performance as well as somebody who is external and past the competence stage of skill acquisition. In other words, you need somebody who's done what you're trying to do. Okay, and it makes it increasingly harder to observe what you're doing and get quick answers so that you can improve. You know, at some point, learning and practicing will only get you so far. You need feedback, and again, that's my thing, is that you get evaluation, that you get feedback that's going to help you to get where you want to go. One of the things that I do is I have an accountability buddy, and we talk once a week. You know, at least once a week, and it's like, okay, this is what you said you were going to get done. What did you get done? This is what I said I was going to get done. This is what I got done. Then we exchange ideas. You know, so it's a two-person mastermind. What do you think of this? How do you think I should move forward on this? Is this a good opportunity for me, or is this, you know, really out in left field? So that is a way that you can get support so that you know, okay? And during all this, you still have to be developing your expertise. So regardless what level of expertise you are, you have to make sure that you can enhance it with some simple steps, that you study as much as you can as it relates to your expertise, that you continue your training in order to maintain a high level of expertise. Like I said, join an accountability group or a mastermind, that you attend seminars, conventions, training courses specifically to your interest and your industry and your market. Hire a mentor or a coach who can help you get things straight. And so you have to invest in yourself as others, you know, as you grow. And you may outgrow your coach. You may have a coach that you're working with that is just getting you started, and then you want to go to the next level. You may have to take some additional courses, or you may have to find another coach who specializes in the place where you are, where you're trying to grow your expertise. And that's okay. The important part is that you're constantly saying, where am I? Who am I an expert to? What is the benefit of this? What is the benefit if I go further? What am I going to achieve? What do I want to achieve? Do I want to move from being a personal expert to being a professional expert? And what do I need to do that? And in some cases, you may decide, you know, I've always wanted to go back to school. I wanted to get a higher degree. That might be a perfect stepping stone in terms of, you know, the learning component to help you become a better expert. So your assignment is, where do you want to become an expert? And it's important to answer the where and the why, simply so that you know how to focus and where to put your energy, so that you know what it is that you need to do. What areas are you interested in, and where do you have a special expertise? Is it personal or is it professional? So that's important. The other thing is, if you're going to be an expert and you're going to put all this energy and time in it, is you want to enjoy it, right? And this is also the thing that's going to give you the insight into the unique you part of your signature. And so it's important to know these things. Who wants to know, you know, spend lots of time being educated in something that maybe they're good in, but they're not really interested, they don't really enjoy, okay? So that is a big part to understanding what needs to go on. If you're going to be an expert, you know, your action plan needs to be a big plan. You need to create some urgency and be determined to finish strong. And the biggest step to that is to have a mindset change, that you can be an expert, to be confident in yourself. So there are two things in your action plan that you need to incorporate. One is speed of implementation. Okay, this is how fast you use new information. The faster you use it, the more likely you are to keep using it and succeed. I think the statistics that I heard was you retain 50% of the information that you hear. You retain 75. No, you get 50% of the information that you when you participate. That jumps up to 75% if you put it to use. It jumps up to 90% if you actually share it and use it. So that's a big part of the speed of implementation. How fast can you participate in it, use it, and share it? The other thing is the confidence-competence loop. And the important part about this is most of us don't think of ourselves as experts. You know, we don't have as much confidence in ourselves as we probably should. We're always surprised that other people think that we're smart. As a matter of fact, my sister just said this to me. She said, you know, I make decisions that impact companies that have billions of dollars on the line, and yet I don't see myself as somebody who is a particular expert. I apologize. The allergies are killing me this year. So that's something that you have to put into your, you know, into your action plan. So the actual action plan is to determine your level and your area of expertise. So it would be your area first and then your level of expertise. You can do this by asking your friends or colleagues what they value in you. If you've listened to me before, I have the three-column system, and the three-column system says it's like a Chinese menu. What do you have knowledge and talent? So it can be something, knowledge that you gain by studying or talent that you have naturally. Where do you like to work and how do you like to work? What are your venues? And the third one is, what are your wow projects? Now, when I do this, I do the wow projects first because it helps me to figure out what my venues are. But it's like the Chinese message. Like, this is you know, an area that I'm really, my talents and skills are really good at. This is where I really like to work. This is my wow project. And so you can take those three and say, okay, what is the opportunity that this creates for me? Think about designing your system. You know, evaluate what you need to do more research on. And it can be, when you design your system, it can be something simple that can make you change. For instance, I took a selling from the stage course. And one of the things that they said that was really amazing to me was, in your system, you design your offer first. What is it that you want to sell? And then you make your speech around that leads people to that, which makes sense. Except I had written this great speech, but what I had to offer had nothing to do with the speech. I mean, it did in my head, but in reality, it was not the kind of speech that was going to, you know, get people excited about buying my offer. So design a system, because when you do that, it takes the personal and the emotional out of it and lets you look at what you're doing objectively. So you can say, okay, I did this, 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 and this, and was highly successful. When I did the same thing again with a different group of people, I wasn't. So is it the system or is it the target market? It makes it much easier to evaluate it and not make it a situation where you're saying, you know, well, this is my fault, okay? Decide how you're going to get out there and share it, whether that's groups or newsletters or, you know, whatever you decide to do. And the last thing is to keep going, because perseverance sometimes trumps talent, okay? And that's how you get better. So the last thing I want to leave you with is, don't be afraid to make mistakes. I mean, I think we all have a fear of failure, which, you know, keeps us from learning new things. You can learn from failure, but it takes time. It's not instantaneous. And, you know, one of the perfect examples of that is adults who want to learn another language. You know, you're an adult, you feel like you should be able to express yourself, and yet you're kind of stuck in baby talk when you first get started. And I had that experience when I was an exchange student, was that I was embarrassed to use the language because I felt like I was talking like a little kid. And know that that's going to happen, and it's okay. And, you know, so you have to be willing to make mistakes in order to learn and grow. And that's why you need to practice. You practice, you make mistakes, you learn from your mistakes. The sooner you're more comfortable with making mistakes, the quicker you're going to learn your skill, the faster you're going to, you know, be able to grow. So, like I said to you, this is information. And that's important, but there's lots of information out there. So how are you going to use what you learn? So the I in I'm Ecstatic is information. The A is You know, how are you going to activate this? How are you going to use what you learned? And there's more than one way to go forward. You may say, all right, maybe I'm going to start with my blog. Maybe I'm going to start with Facebook and put some posts on Facebook about the things that I'm interested in and see what kind of response I get. You know, motivation. What is your motivation? Are you motivated to do this professionally? Are you motivated to do this personally? Are you not quite sure of your motivation? Would you like to make some money from this, even if it's just a hobby? So figure out what your motivation is, all right? I purposely make this show only 50 minutes long so that you'll have a good 10 minutes to write down an action plan, that you'll have some time to invest in this and take what we've learned and really use it. So I would say to you, know that being an expert is a relative thing. Figure out where you are in terms of that relativity. Are you an expert? Are you a reporter? Are you a student? Where do you want to be? And how do you want to get your word out there and get it shared? So just real fast, let me just go over just the seven steps that I told you about. Well, the first thing I told you about was, you know, that an expert, there are lots of experts out there, but you really want to be an authority. So you want to have people that believe in what you're saying and they follow. Then you need to figure out what type of expert that you want to be and realize that being an expert is just a relative term. It's like a sliding scale. Use whatever you've learned in your life to, you know, help you to be an expert in your field. There are seven things you can do. You have to be a lifelong learner is one, and keep learning so you can stay on top of stuff. You have to study other experts so that you can have some focus and see different points of view. You need to create an argument on your topic so that you have really fleshed it out from all different directions. Four, you need to keep it simple and have a system. Five, it needs to be, when you get out there, you need to have an educational perspective so that you can help educate people on what you believe in. Get out, you know, get outside, share your expertise, and seven is get some help. So those are the things that anybody can do. So the question that we ask is, can you be an expert? And the answer is yes. If you put in the time and the energy, you decide where you want to be an expert and the level, and you're willing to do the other things, you can definitely do that. And, you know, I guess the final thing is being willing to make mistakes. So I hope that you'll take the 10 minutes and apply some of the things, that you'll jot down some things. And be honest with yourself when you ask, how much effort are you willing to put in this? So take a minute and plan the actions you're going to take. I can't tell you how glad I am that you came. And you know, when we hang up, I hope that what you'll do is take your dreams and turn them into goals, your goals and turn them into plans, and your plans into actions. And the thing that I think I'm the most excited about is the fact that anybody can be an expert. You can be an expert in your life. You can be an expert in business. You can really change the way that you look at things, and you can help other people change the way they look at things as well. So enjoy this information. I hope you'll talk about it to somebody else. I hope that you will go to my website. There are some interesting things that are on there that can help you as you're transitioning. So I'll tell you, definitely, you should definitely look at one of the blogs, especially today's blog. It'll tell you about how to get involved in the 18-week Wellness Professionals Success Blueprint. This is really for people that are growing. We made it wellness, but it works for anybody who is in a service. You're delivering services. So it's 18 weeks, an hour teleseminar. It's free. It's recorded, so you can get the recording for free for 24 hours. And when the product is totally finished, if you buy it right now, it's $29.99. If you wait till it's totally finished, it'll be $209. So that'll show you how to get onto that, so you can listen to that. That's some great information that'll help you be an expert and make your business grow. So, having done all this, what would you do differently? What did you learn that'll help you? What's going to make 2015 better than it's been? So, for I'm Ready For Me and from Yvonne McCoy, I just want you to be empowered, design your life for ease, and have a formula that works with you. I want you to be healthy, wealthy, and alive. So, again, if you haven't liked me on my page, if you haven't downloaded my I'm Ecstatic life model, you should do that. Check out the fact that the 18-week free teleseminar series on how to build your business. Sign up for that. And I will talk to you next time. Bye.